I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
And it's good to be here.
I seem to recall you saying that you recently explained to your mentor group about how to bid at auctions. So I was wondering if you might share some of those insights with our listeners today. Where's the best place to start?
Well, you see, when I'm buying property for clients, I'm not convinced that auction is the best way to go. I know it is when it comes to selling the property for certain properties. I mean, there are some that are better suited to a tender, some even a private sale, but on the whole, for a competitive property to get a good result, auction is the way to go when you're selling. But I tend to shy away from auctions and expressions of interest and things like that, mainly because there is an unnecessary competition and emotion involved in the process. And also, vendors tend to believe that the added competition of an auction is going to bring a better price, or at least get up to the figure that they placed on the property as their reserve. Even so, having said that, there will be occasions when there's a particular property you really want, either for your own business or it might be as far as personal home. It's a property that you've decided that you really want, and the only way to buy it is to attend the auction. And I understand that. And so what I developed many years ago was a simple system, much along the way as I analysed to create the 9-step formula, whereby you could gain a certain amount of control over the auction and how events are going to unfold. So I guess it's that you wanted me to explain.
Tell me, if the auctioneer is clearly the person in charge, how are you able to gain any strategic advantage?
Well, not only does the public believe the auctioneer is in control of an auction, in actual fact, the documentation, the contract that he reads out, contains specific clauses which confirm that he's in control, right down to making the auctioneer the sole arbiter when it comes to resolving an undisputed bid. However, for you to be successful, you need to turn the tables. You need to be the one who is actually calling the shots. And, you know, whether you're buying a home or an investment property, in this system, you need to remove all the emotional aspects. It purely comes down to just focusing on what's actually taking place, analysing it, understanding it, and then turning it to your own advantage. So, as I say to people, one of the first things you need to understand is that all an auction is a negotiation which takes place in public. And therefore, what you need to do is to assemble or arrange the pieces in a way that will best serve your purpose. And as I just going back to the 9-step formula, that's what I did with the finance, if you recall. You know, it shows you how to take advantage of the process that bankers normally want you to go through, rearranging the pieces. The same elements are there, they're just in a different order so that you actually take control of, in fact, what's going on.
So how do events usually unfold on auction day?
Well, when it comes to auction day, effectively, this is what happens. I mean, you all go through your inspections and so forth, but once the auction starts, the auctioneer will read the contract, briefly describe the property, and then call for bids. If there's no one wanting to start it, the auctioneer will generally open with a vendor bid. Now, things will kick along, and bidding will generally reach a point where the auctioneer will go inside to refer and consult with the vendor. Now, after a short pause, he will then return and he'll announce that we've reached the vendor's price or we're very close to it, and then call again for some more bids. Now, from there, the bidding will generally continue until the property is either sold or passed in at the highest bidder. Now, in the current market, which is pretty hot, there's not a lot of properties being passed in. So generally it gets on the market and the property is then sold.
And now, talk to us about the main players.
Well, the conventional thinking is that it's the bidders that are the main players, but the vendor is there and, of course, you've got the auctioneer. However, it's actually the order of importance that you've got to be concerned about. And really, it's the vendor that is the person you've got to focus on, because until and unless the vendor is convinced as to the likely final price, the property will never be placed on the market for sale, because once it's put on the market, the vendor can't retract it, because that's the basis that the documentation is drawn. But having said that, it's the auctioneer that is the first party you need to get under control.
Okay, we've now set the scene. How do you go about taking control?
Well, again, it's really a matter of just simply following pretty easy formula. And obviously, you need to decide upon preferred property. And that may take a while, but you will come across a property that you decide is perfect for you. Now, if I'm working with a client on this, shortly before the auction, generally probably in the week before the auction's due, I will inspect the property. Now, apart from having a look at the property, the main purpose is to build a relationship with the selling agent so that I'm visible and convey the impression that either I or a client I'll be representing are interested in the property. Now, you don't have to engage my services. I mean, you might have a friend or colleague who can play that role. They obviously have to be someone who has some commercial awareness, and I don't mean that to be disparaging, but they have to be able to hold their nerve and not be fazed by the situation. So it'll be someone who is used to dealing, it might be a solicitor or accountant or someone like that, who is used to dealing with the public on a regular basis. But the important thing is that it must never be obvious that there's a connection between you and that person. And that's important. Now, the next thing is you determine what the property is likely to sell for. And let's, for example, say you come up with a figure of $900,000 to $925,000, as from based on experience or market research, that's where you think it sits in that range. Now, quite unemotionally, you need to establish your maximum figure. And for the purpose of this exercise, let's say it's $1 million, and that's where you feel you're going to top out. So having established that, you need to then establish what will be 90% of your maximum figure. In this case, 90% of $1 million is $900,000, which fits quite neatly with the bottom end of the range for where the property is expected to sell for. Now, with that in mind, what you need to do is effectively create a bidding script using your 90% figure as the maximum to what where you will go during the first round of bidding. So for this example, the script would be something like this. Now, as soon as the auctioneer has read the contract and finished his sort of marketing spiel about the property, he will then start calling for bidding. Now, at that point, what I would do is open with a bid of $750,000, and I'd call that out. And then it's important that you bid also, because at this point we want to continue the illusion that the two of us are not connected. The purpose is to get the property on the market. As I said, our focus is on the vendor, but we have to get to the vendor through the auctioneer. So you then, after I bid, count to three and call out a bid, for this example, of $800,000. Now, I've got to tell you that that 3 seconds sounds or feels like an eternity. And that's why you need someone who's in this whole thing. You have to hold your nerve, and so does the person that's bidding for you. Now, at this point, the auctioneer was probably, for this property, would have nominated risers of $20,000. But he may not have. You've called out $800,000. I would call out $850,000 shortly after your bid. As I said, if he has or hasn't nominated the $20,000, doesn't matter. You would then nominate $870,000. So if he has, you just raise your hand and bid the $20,000. If not, you would call out $870,000. At that point, I would make my final first round bid of $900,000 to complete this phase. Now, you probably have to listen to this again, but hopefully that sounds fairly straightforward. But the key to the success is how we position ourselves in the crowd. That's me and you, or your colleague and you. You have to be at the front of the crowd, either side of the auctioneer, but looking at one another. And that way the auctioneer is fully aware that he has two bidders, and virtually everybody else in the crowd is going to feel that they have some serious competition.
Obviously, you've given this a lot of thought. Perhaps you could provide some insight into the underlying psychology of what's really going on.
Well, as you can appreciate, we certainly want to eliminate a number of the buyers, but that's not really the main purpose. Because with most auctions, the auctioneer is the one who will generally start the bidding with a vendor bid. And the public generally see that as a sign of weakness, because there just doesn't appear to be a lot of starters. But the little performance we've put on there, and it literally only takes about 20 seconds in all to get through that whole thing, is hopefully convinced the auctioneer that he's really got a good day today and he's going to get a good price and have a terrific result. And so what that hopefully means is that he now has become our best advocate with the vendor, when at that point there should be no other bidding, because if everyone else has done their homework, you've taken it to $900,000, which is about where they thought it was worth, and you've got there quickly and no one else has had a chance to bid. So when the auctioneer goes inside, he's going to recount to the vendor, look, I've got these two bidders, you, who've been through a number of times, Chris Lang or whoever it is you've got bidding for you, and there's another four or five that have shown good interest, they've asked for contracts, etc. And at this point, he's, I believe, going to persuade the vendor that the best way to achieve a tremendous result today would be to put the property on the market and let all interested parties carry it up to and past the reserve price. So as I said, you've given the auctioneer all the ammunition he or she needs to legitimately go to the vendor and twist their arm to get it on the market. Now, if the vendor wanted 925 or 950 or even a million, at that point, we've suddenly got two strong bidders who appear to be fighting it out, plus another, I would say, in the current market, four or five at least that have shown above average interest. And the auctioneer can then legitimately put pressure on the vendor to put it on the market for unreserved sale.
Okay, what happens then?
Well, the auctioneer will come out. Hopefully it's on the market, and hopefully we've knocked out most of, if not all, the bidders. But there may well be a couple of genuine bidders that will still be there and will start to bid. So I would, or your colleague would then, compete against them up to your maximum figure. Now, as I said, you've arrived in this example of, say, $1 million. And that, I know it's a stated maximum figure, but and it's necessary to create the bidding script. But generally, most people will have a bid and reserve. In other words, look, for another 50 or 100,000 in this price bracket, you're not going to walk away from it. So, you know, you've got to work out in your mind. Now, I just have a signal with my clients, and, you know, they either have a handkerchief in their jacket pocket or a scarf around their neck. And the arrangement is, and that's why we position ourselves right at the front so we can see each other and also observe the other bidders, is that while the scarf or the handkerchief is visible, I still have permission to bid. As soon as that's taken off, then we stop. So it's a very simple process that you take it from when the auctioneer comes out, again, after having spoken with the vendor.
And how might everything end up?
Well, basically, there are three possible outcomes. Ideally, you'll be the successful purchaser. The property might be passed into me or your colleague representing you as the highest bidder, or other bidders will simply continue on past your absolute maximum figure, in which case, even if you're unsuccessful, you then know you've given it your best shot. But however, look, assuming you're the successful bidder or the property's passed in, then you or I or both of us would then resolve things with the auctioneer afterwards. So, you know, basically that's how it works. That's how I found it in the past 30, 40 years, is how I've been able to take advantage of the situation with clients at an auction.
One question that did cross my mind: why wouldn't you simply hang back and wait to see who actually bids?
Well, the simple answer to that is that attending auctions, whether it's commercial or residential, can be emotional. And it's like lining up dominoes. You know, you knock one and the next one knocks. Everyone will generally, at an auction, bid at least 10, 15% more than they plan to. So you don't want to let them get started because, you know, people say, look, it's only another $5,000 or $10,000, but then you bid and they bid again, it ends up being $10,000 or $20,000. So it can get out of hand. And as I said, what we're trying to do is remove the emotion so that it's purely logic and reason that hopefully will prevail.
And when using your bidding script, what if there were no other bidders at all? Couldn't you have actually paid too much?
Yeah, look, that's another good question. But I think the way you look at it is this: the vendor is not going to sell unless they get a price that they're comfortable with. Your 90% figure is either at the bottom end or somewhere in the range of what the market determines is what the property should be worth. Now, you've got to look at it another way. That let's suppose you were negotiating privately and you have a maximum of $1 million and you end up negotiating privately with a vendor to buy it at 900,000. In other words, 90% of the max you'll go to. Of course you'd be comfortable. You'd be happy. You'd be delighted because you would have paid another 100,000. So just declaring your hand up front, it's a strategic move. And as I said, you've got to think of it like a negotiation. It just happens to be in front of a crowd of people. And so if you're only having to pay 90% of what you would have paid for, if no one else bids, what's it matter? Because as I said, it's not just the other bidders. It's primarily the vendor that you've got to make happy. Unless they're comfortable with the price that they're receiving, they're not going to put the property on the market, whether it's an auction or a private sale. So that's the way you've got to think about it. And as I said, you don't get tied up in the emotion. Purely logic and reason.
Before we started today, I doubt many people thought it possible to take charge of an auction. But I think you may have changed everyone's perspective on that.
Well, just as I did with my 9-step investment formula, all I've really done is just dissect the auction process and reassemble it so as to provide my clients with a welcome strategic advantage.
I now get that. And thanks for making everything so clear.
Well, it was a pleasure.